Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I am so thrilled that you're here today. Thank you for listening and tuning in to the podcast. Your support means so much to me. I have an amazing new friend with me. I have Rebecca Heisel. She is with Smashing Numbers, and she is a success strategist, and she's so passionate, super passionate about advocating for entrepreneurs, making sure that they know their numbers, they know their business. We had a conversation recently and we were just chatting all things numbers. As you guys know, as a business coach, I work a lot with my clients on making sure they're looking at their numbers. They're getting paid. They're actually paying themselves, because it's heartbreaking how many entrepreneurs I've spoken to in the past who just weren't paying themselves. They weren't getting like the reward from it. And so Rebecca and I were talking, and I was like, we need to talk about this. Let's talk about numbers and why they're so important. So, Becca, welcome to the show.
Hi, Darlene. Thanks for having me. And before we talk about their numbers real quick, can we talk about the money emotions and why people don't like to look at their numbers? Are you okay
Yes.
if we dive into that? Okay.
Yeah.
So there is so much shame and fear and guilt around their money. And some of them have debt, which debt is not a bad thing if you use it to leverage your business. But so many entrepreneurs either don't look at their bank statements at all. And it's so fun when we do look at their bank statements and they realize that they're doing way better than they thought they were doing. Or we have the ones that look at their bank statements every single day and they look at them as if that's going to help them generate more money. And so the first thing that we do is we look at money emotions. So we help them face their money. Have you ever like did something wrong and you don't want to tell your boss that you did something? And the more you wait to tell your boss, the more stories you tell in your head and the more uncomfortable you get. And then you tell your boss and they're like, that's all you did. You're learning from your mistakes. And it's the same with their money. Like they have so much fear and anxiety. And the longer they wait to look at their money, the more fear and stories they tell. And so once we help them look at their money, they instantly get so much clarity and confidence and inspiration and empowerment. And so I just want to start by saying that the first thing is it's okay to look at your money.
Yes.
And look at your numbers.
And sometimes we need that permission. So, Becca, thank you for giving all of us permission to look at our money, look at the numbers, and know what they are. Before we dive too much further in, can you take us back a little bit?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about who you are, Becca, the work that you do, and how you kind of came into to doing this work. Like, what was it that called you in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually started at Smashing Numbers as a receptionist, which I got so many of those emotions. I took all the phone calls and so people, I got a letter from the IRS. I don't know what to do with it. I need to talk to Maddie right now. I maxed out this credit card. And so being the receptionist, I heard a lot of those fears around money. And then Maddie asked me to do a newsletter for her. And she's like, hey, you're kind of good at this. Do you want to do my social media posting? And so I started doing social media posting. And I'm like, Maddie, I need to sit in on your calls. I need to know what you're doing. Like, I need to know what to market, because I knew that we did bookkeeping. And I know that we do tax returns and tax planning, but she offered something different in her coaching. And so just after sitting in on three of those calls, I loved watching the transformation from the fear of money to, you could literally watch them have this like you could see their transformation. And I told Maddie, you're not getting me off any of these calls. I want to help. I want to help make an impact. And from there, I had learned that so many people come to us that their CPA yells at them. Their CPA doesn't talk to them. They don't respond to them. So many people don't know how to read their books. They know they need a bookkeeper. They know that there's some reason it's important to have bookkeeping. But their bookkeeper doesn't send them reports. Or if they do, they have no clue what those reports tell them. And so from there, I have just loved helping entrepreneurs feel inspiration and empowered around their money and their numbers.
I love that you took such a, you dove in and really got into the system and wanted to learn, like, what are people learning here in this organization? I actually want to, you know, take it to the next level. What was like the turning point, do you think, for you for really wanting to help people smash their numbers and like get more like the emotional piece, but also like get into like the nitty-gritty of it and actually making sure that they're checking their books and they're looking at the numbers and they're engaging with those things. Like, was there a specific part of it that really called you in?
The very first thing is actually the first three meetings we have with people, we actually have them set goals. What do they really want to do, be, or have? And I love that it's our holistic approach. We don't just have them set goals in their personal life or their business life. We have them set goals around health and their personal life and legacy, because every business owner is different. They go into business thinking they're going to have it. It's really actually, here's what did it is the purpose. Like, entrepreneurs have amazing purposes of why they went into business. And sometimes it's even like they lose track of time freedom. And so I loved helping them be able to, they went into business with a purpose, they had a good idea, and all of a sudden, money and business is not taught in schools. And they're doing amazing at what they went into business for, but they have no clue how to manage their money. They don't know what to look for. They don't know how to, and so it's really teaching them those fundamental processes, the very beginning fundamental processes of what do you want? How much does it cost? How much does your business need to generate? And how can we make that happen? How many clients do you need to work with at what price? And just giving them that clarity and just seeing that transformation of, honestly, the emotions is a big part for me, because they had so much more time. They were looking at their bank statements daily. They were so much emotions and fear. And when that all went away, they had more quality time.
Yeah, so you're giving them time back because they know their numbers, they know what they need to bring in, what they don't need to do, what they can stop doing sometimes, right? Especially as a
Absolutely.
lot of the clients I work with, like there's things that we're doing because we've always done them and we just think we should do them because somebody once said we should do this thing, and then all of a sudden we get into it and we realize like we're just spinning our wheels here. It's not actually bringing us joy, it's not actually supporting the business. Maybe it's not even bringing in any income anymore, but because we've been, been told things are going to work or things should be done this way, like the shitting on ourselves, like let's stop shitting on ourselves is definitely a slogan that I've been saying for years now, because we do so many of those things and they don't actually take us to the next level.
I absolutely love that and agree with that.
When you think about growth strategies and using our numbers, especially in a position so that we can actually grow as an entrepreneur, or if we're working inside of an organization and you're listening to this and you're wanting to grow in like your department numbers, different pieces like that, like what are some growth strategies that really have supported the clients that you work with to help get them to that next level?
Sure. Honestly, I keep circling back to every single thing goes back to what you want to do, be, or have. And first of all, making sure that they are paying themselves. Before you continue to grow, we want to make sure that you are on a solid foundation. Like, don't keep building your business on a rocky foundation. People come to us that are making $1 million are actually in worse financial shape than the ones making $100,000. If you do not fix the fundamental problem at $100,000, it's all you're going to do is add zeros. You're just playing with bigger money. A lot of time, books are very important. There's books on how to market your business. There's books on how to write a story. But the most important books is your books, your bookkeeping, because they tell you how much you spend in marketing. They tell you how much you spend in payroll. Sometimes we find payroll is extremely way too high. We find that they're spending way too much on marketing and not getting a good return on their investment. And so there's not one area that I can say for sure, because every business is unique and every business is different. They definitely need to know how to read their books, and they need to have bookkeeping, and they need to have an accountant that they can talk to that helps them identify those loopholes. Because if you're paying too much in payroll and you're not on payroll yourself, that's the first loophole that we want to help them with. We want them to pay themselves the first 10% of all money they receive and put it in a wealth accumulation account and have that money work for them. That is the number one way that you can pay yourself, is to put 10% in an investment account and have it work for you. Now, when we start working with them, they don't, not everybody can start with 10%, but we build the muscles. We start with $20 a week. We go to $100 a week and we get to 10%. But we want to make sure that their business supports what they want first before we worry about growth. And then growth is very important. And we look at, the price that they're offering. A lot of service industry people don't feel comfortable charging more. But if you have a service that you offer, it is a disservice if you're not in business. So you want to make sure that you're not pricing yourself out of business.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you shared that piece of like giving yourself that 10% first and not as like to go pay your mortgage and to pay your bills, but to really invest back into your future. Are there any other, because I know that there's tons of different books and there's so many different thought processes. I'm actually just curious, like at Smashing Numbers, like what is your guys' philosophy? Like how do you allocate that income or the money that's coming into your business to make sure that you can withstand and support your household, but also support the business growth and pay taxes and do all those different pieces? Like, do you follow a system that works for your clients?
Absolutely. We have a, and I, if it's okay to drop this now, but there's a free tool on our website and it is a cash flow allocator. And it's a calculator that they put in how much money they receive. So if you receive a check for $1,000, you put $1,000 in the pink box and it will tell you how much we suggest you put aside for wealth accumulation, for taxes, for personal life, and business life. I can tell you that. No matter what business or strategy you have, 10% should go to wealth accumulation and 20% should go to taxes. Now, the business life and personal life is where you can play with a little bit. Usually it's 30% for personal, 40 for business, or vice versa, or some number in between. And that's where we get super clear and make sure we know that number. But a good rule of thumb across the board is 10% for investment, 20% for taxes, and then play with the 30-40 for business and personal.
Perfect. Yeah, I know that's a conversation I have a lot with my clients. And I know I've like really fine-tuned that for myself, being in business for 18 years as a business coach and like taking in that income. Like when I first got it, I was like afraid to use it. I was like, well, I need to save up all the business money. And I'm like, oh, wait, but I need to make money. Like, how do I pay for my bills? I'm like, all right, I have to write a paycheck. And so I got into a rhythm, in the beginning where once a month, and I still do it once a month now, where I pay myself once a month. The money comes in, I allocate it as you were. We're sharing, and I have my percentage that I take for income for myself, money that stays for the expenses for the business. You call it wealth accumulation. I call it profit. I have like, I call it like 10% like profit account. It's going out to do other cool things for me and the world. And that's really worked for me. And so many people I talk to, though, they come in and they're, like I was sharing, saying before, like maybe they're not even paying themselves. What is like your strategy when someone comes in and maybe they're making money, they're maybe what I call commingling. I don't know if that's a word that you use at your office. Like they're like taking money from the business account and they're paying their mortgage out of the business account. Like, how do you help support them to make sure that they're putting money into their personal account and they're not commingling their funds from the business and the organization or the business and their personal finances?
That is the very, very, very first muscle that they need to learn to build, is keeping your personal and business very separate. If you go to Walmart and you buy something for business and something for personal, you use your business card for the business item and you use your personal card for your personal. You want your business to stand with integrity. And that if you were to ever get audited by the IRS, that generates a lot of questions that we don't want to generate. So you need to make sure that your business is your business. Your personal is your personal. If you, like you said, if you need money for your personal to pay yourself, you write the check from the business to the personal. And when we're talking about allocation, I want to talk about like pretend your money is water and you have a pitcher of water and you have four cups. And one cup is your taxes and one cup is wealth accumulation and one is personal and one is business expenses. We want you to dump that water in all four cups. We don't want to overfill one cup and we don't want to leave a cup empty. Because if you dump all that water in your business account, your personal life suffers. And if you only dump it between your personal life and your business expenses, then it's much harder to get money back that you already spent for taxes. You know you're going to have taxes at the end of the year. And so, regardless, we have to save for that. And it's building strategies and making sure that you have a sustainable business plan, or at least profitable.
Yeah. The tax piece I know is something that is hard for a lot of entrepreneurs as they're starting their businesses. Like actual work, most a lot of us come, we've worked a job at some point, right? Like I know before I started my business, I was in retail management. I did a couple other things when I was younger, and we're used to that W-2. We're used to them taking the taxes out. We get excited when we get like that check back at tax season because, you know, we've claimed zero. We were young and we didn't have any expenses and all those different things. And then we become an entrepreneur and it feels like we're giving up something when we're paying
Yes.
taxes. What is one of the hacks that I've used for myself is I get to pay taxes. Like I was blessed enough to bring income into my business this year, so I get to pay taxes. If I didn't make that money, I would not get to pay that.
Yes.
But it provided the lifestyle, the travel, paying for my family's, you know, utilities, roofs, clothing, food, all of those necessities that we need. What are some other hacks that you work with your clients when, because I know like it's hard to write that check, you know, whether you do it quarterly or you write it at the end of the year when you go do your taxes. Like, what are some things that work for you to help like shift that mentality and the mindset around money?
Absolutely. You started taking it right out of my mouth. First of all, if you pay taxes as a business owner, that is a good thing. That means you made income. One hack is right off the bat, that 20% that we have you set aside for taxes, you can put it in a savings account and have make interest on it. You can put it in Acorns or Robinhood, which are investment apps that are 8% on the market if you're okay with a risk tolerance. So that way your money is still working for you. You're making 8% on that money. You don't have to just put it in a account. You don't have to put it under your bed where it's not going to make any money. You can definitely put it in an interest account that's going to get interest. The other thing, the way a mindset shift around this is so many people want deductions. They want a new printer and they want this and they want that because they don't want to pay taxes. Well, if you pay for a $1,000 printer, you're saving 30% in taxes. You're saving $300. But you still spent $700. Did you really want to spend $700 on a printer, or were you just trying to not pay for $300 of taxes? That's a huge mindset, and a way to look at it is as you're buying something on sale just to get the sale, but did you really want to buy it?
Yeah, there's definitely something about like it's the end of the year. I need to like donate money or I need to go and buy all those different things. And so I like the perspective of it. Like, are you buying it because you need it? Like, I needed a new monitor for my desk this year. So in December, I was like, I'm gonna buy it now. It's a great time to buy it. I found one on sale. It's something that I actually needed, but I didn't just go buy a monitor because I wanted to like save money on my taxes. It was an actual need for the business. So making sure we're justifying the purchases that we're buying in our business, we're, you know, investing in the right things, you know, like some of the things that I invest in coaching every year. As a business coach, I'm a huge believer that every business owner needs to have a coach, and I follow that. I lead by example. I have a business coach in my business as well. And so that's one of the expenses that I know I can write off at the end of the year, right? But I'm not just doing it because I'm like, oh, it's a tax write-off. Because yeah, I could definitely, you know, use that money in other directions. So I love that you bring that in and make that something to notice. Like, are you spending it because you want to give back and donate from the goodness of your heart to charities and nonprofits, or at, you know, if you're tithing at your church, like whatever those things are, like do it because you want to do it, not because of just because just for fun, because
Sure.
it's not cost advantage for us.
Absolutely. Making meaningful and conscious decisions. So, perfect example of this, and I can tell it quickly, is my husband wanted a $1,500 Patrick Mahomes autographed jersey, and instead he bought a $300 helmet and a $200 helmet of people who are not even playing on the team anymore. He bought some mini helmets of people who are on the team but not a starting lineup. Bottom of the story, he spent $1,100 on crap that he didn't even want. And he could have just bought the $1,500 Patrick Mahomes jersey and been happy. And making more money doesn't make you happy. It's making meaningful choices. So we had a client who we were looking at her 2023 and 2022 numbers, and her income was up 50K, but her expenses were down 10K, and she bought one outfit and one pair of shoes for $5,480. She spent that much on an outfit and a pair of shoes, but her expenses were down 10K. So it's making conscious decisions and asking yourself, do you really want, is this something I want to do, be, or have? If it's yes, then you ask yourself one more question. Does this take me closer to my goals? Yes, buy it. If not, it's not a no or never. It's just a not right now.
Yeah, and we have to look at those things and really make, whether they're a difficult conversation or with ourselves, like, do we need these things? Maybe it's looking at, where we're spending money. Maybe it's our marketing dollars, in our
Absolutely.
businesses. Are we hiring on team members that make sense for our organization? Are they the right people in the right places? Are they actually alleviating? A lot of the people that listen to this podcast are solopreneurs. So they are running their business on their own. They have a team of maybe like virtual assistants helping them, or maybe they have consultants that come in and help them on different projects and different pieces like that. But are we spending the money in the right places? Are we allocating things where we need them to be? As we start to wrap up, I'm curious, like, what are some things that people don't think about when it comes to the money they're bringing in their business that you wish every single business owner or just leader inside of organizations knew that they would watch and pay attention to? Like, what are some like final thought type things that you would say?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, I challenge everybody to make a list of 100 things they want to do, be, or have. There's nothing more important. And I want them to set specific goals. What do they want? And so when that money comes in, I want them to ask, or when they go to spend money, I want them to ask, is this something I really want to do, be, or have? If they can, I want them to put 10% aside for wealth accumulation or profit, pay themselves, write themselves a check. If they can't do 10% today, start with 1%. Start with a half a percent. I want them to save 20% for taxes, no matter what. If you pay taxes, taxes is a good thing. I want them to make sure that they know how much their personal life costs and know how much their business costs, and so that they know how much money they need to make. So many people say, I want to make $1 million. And they have this number that's made up of thin air. They have no clue where it came from. So really identifying how much their life costs and how much money they really truly need to make. And if you need help with your money, if you need help with your finances, don't be afraid to ask and get rid of those yucky money emotions so that you can have more time to help more people.
Yeah, so good. I know money mindset is something that I've had to work on I'll say my whole life, but like I remember like we didn't talk about money in my household. Like I didn't, my parents, if I asked them how much the mortgage was, I was pretty much told like none of my business, like it doesn't matter. And so I remember being a young adult, and a lot of my listeners know I was a teen mom. I had had my oldest son right out of high school. I had to figure out the finance piece. I had to figure out how to even like, figure out like how do you budget for, paying rent for an apartment, food. I had a son, so I'm like daycare. I'm like, where does this money come from? Like, how are we supposed to pay for all those things? But when we really, like you shared earlier, I think your example of like the water cups and the water pitcher, like pouring that money in, like every dollar has a home. Every dollar needs a place to go into. How we use it from there can vary, but making sure we're naming the money that we have coming into our business, knowing that, it's going to take some mindset work. We're going to have to focus on, learning how to budget, learning how to use our money in a smart way so it works for us. Because most of us are creating income in our businesses so that we can go out and make an impact in the world. I know I personally want to be able to give back to my local community. I want to invest in other women to support them in growing their businesses. I want to, support leaders and entrepreneurs to really speak up and use their voice. And the more money I make in my business, the easier it is for me to give back and support that and, those initiatives in my community. And
Absolutely.
if I'm not asking for the sale, or if I'm not speaking up in conversations, or if I'm not going out and marketing and networking and building those relationships, it impacts not only myself, but it also impacts my community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one more quick mindset thing is we actually don't believe in budgeting as much as we like to say forecasting. And we have no judge and shame it. If you want a $5 cup of coffee every day, that's fine. You just need to plan for it and bring awareness to it. You need to know how much things cost and you need to bring awareness to it. So it's not, we want you to use an abundance mindset and we want you to plan for the things that you want because it's much easier to generate one more client than it is to sit there and go through your bank account and see what you expenses you can cut. It's a better mindset to generate one more client, reach out to one more person than it is to cut expenses.
I love that piece. You totally made me like I started to giggle when you said like the coffee because my daughter needs to forecast for her Starbucks addiction, and I'm going to use that with her today because every Thursday she's like, "Let's go get Starbucks after school," and I'm like, "We're going to forecast for that." Like, yeah.
Yes.
So I love it, Becca. Before we officially wrap up, I always love to do some rapid fire questions at the end of each of my interviews just to get to know you a little bit more. If I was to buy you a plane ticket and you go anywhere in the world today, where would you go and why?
Hawaii, because I've been to 25 states by the age of 25, and I have a goal to go to 50 by 50, and Hawaii is the next place on my radar.
Very cool. We actually just got back from Hawaii last summer. I highly
Oh.
recommend it. But we've been twice. We've been to Kauai and we went to Oahu this summer, and it's so fun, so beautiful.
Awesome.
Definitely. Just do it. Just book it. Let's go. I'll go with you. I'll be your tour guide.
Perfect.
So,
Now
when you think about self-care and taking care of Becca, like when you need to like reset, reflect, and recharge, like what's something that you like to do that really can help like reground you again?
I love journaling. I journal a lot. And one thing that I do every single day is when I get up, I give myself a high five in the mirror and say, "You got this."
Love it. Part of like the ripple effect that I know most of us want to leave in this world. We want to leave a legacy. We want to, be part of a bigger impact. What's like one thing that is helping you leave your footprint on this earth that you think that you do each day or each month or each year?
I have a sticky note on my desk here that says, "My words inspire, empower, and transform lives." And like I said, I came up with a new title, Passionate Advocate for Entrepreneurs, because I love what I do. I absolutely have a passion for it. And I just want to help as many people as I possibly can. And just watching that, my paycheck means nothing to me. The transformation that I see my clients go through is what fulfills my heart and truly gives me passion and meaning and gives me. Like I love myself whenever I see their transformation. And I just want to help as many people as possible.
Love that. And what would you say is your number one value? Like when
Oh.
for you, like what's one thing, like a word that really describes what's important to you?
My word this year is empowerment, so I'm going to say empowerment.
Okay. Can you share, do you mind sharing like what brought you to empowerment this year?
So it's kind of a long story, but I've been on quite a journey in my personal life, and I just have figured out the whole love yourself before you can love others and help yourself before you can help others. And inspiring and empowering myself from the journey I just went through is what has helped me realize that I can help others.
Yeah, I love that. Becca, thank you so much for sharing that. I know people are going to want to reach out and connect and get to know more about you personally, as well as Smashing Numbers. How do people connect? Where do you want them to go?
Absolutely. So smashingnumbers.com. There's free profit strategies that I absolutely want everybody to take advantage of. I know that they will help them in some way. There's four of them, and or they can book a free strategy session with me on smashingnumbers.com. And my favorite social media platform is LinkedIn. I am very active on LinkedIn. That's where I help the most women help more women sharing posts and commenting on their posts. And that's where I make the most connections or would love to connect with people, either smashingnumbers.com or LinkedIn, Becca Heisel.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that those links are down below in the show notes so that you can grab them. And you already alluded to it. You have an amazing free gift where people can like figure out what money needs to go where, what percentage goes where. Can you say it's just is it on the main website if they go to smashingnumbers.com?
Yep, smashingnumbers.com. In the top bar, there's free profit strategies, and there's four of them. The cash flow allocator is the one I talked about today, but there's three other free tools there that they can grab under the free profit strategies.
Perfect. Go check that out. I know making sure we look at our numbers is probably one of the most uncomfortable things that we do that makes us the biggest bang in return in the work that we're doing. So go out there and make sure you know your numbers, play with them, know them, don't be scared of them. If you've worked with me in the past, you know that I call it CEO Monday every single Monday. We go into CEO mode and we make sure we look at our numbers, we make sure we know what our finances look like, we make sure we have money coming in and we're allocating those in the right places. So, Becca, thank you so much for being here. That's another wrap for an episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. Please, if you have not yet, make sure if this is your first time here, so hit the subscribe button. I interview amazing entrepreneurs and leaders inside of organizations every month that will help you really take a look at your life and see how you can continue to attract the right people that you want to work with and stand out in the way that you want to in the industry that you're in, so you can make an impact. You can be a part of that bigger ripple effect. And while you're subscribing, feel free to leave a review. Your reviews help so much with helping this podcast get seen and shown to other viewers every single month. So we will see you next month. As always, I believe in you. You're allowed to stand out. You're allowed to shine. You're allowed to be you. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.